You'll turn in your Bibles, please, to Paul's second letter to Timothy, to chapter 3. We're going to talk about the Christian family and the church. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, we're going to read the entire chapter, only 17 verses. Now, we believe the Bible is the only infallible rule to guide us in our faith and in our practice. Therefore, to know God's will and God's way, we must know God's Word. Hear what He says to us in this portion. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of stress. And that's where I got my sermon title, Stress Test for Church Pillars. There will come times of stress. For men will be, and here he describes human society. It's not a very nice description, but it's accurate. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. And what do you do with people like that? Avoid such people. For among them are those who make their way into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and swayed by various impulses, who will listen to anybody and can never arrive at a knowledge of the truth. As Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of corrupt mind and counterfeit faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Now, you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, my sufferings, what befell me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. You know, would you be willing to point at your life that way and say, look at me and be molded after my example? I'd be hard put to do that. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceivers and deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And why would you lean on Scripture? All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Chin on this Mother's Day is entitled Stress Test for Church Pillars. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. From whom are your children learning? And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Are your children acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus? May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God, on this day as we celebrate families, and remember especially our mothers, we pray that You'll speak to us today. Give us a sense of history. Give us a sense of where You're leading us. And most of all, give us a sense of commitment. Give us ears to hear now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Stress tests are important. When something is built, we need to know how much stress it will take. If more stress is put on something than it's designed to take, it will collapse. I'm sure all of us remember very vividly What happened in Kansas City last year? A bridge across the lobby of a hotel was improperly stressed. It could not take the weight that was put on it, and as a result, over 100 people lost their lives. Several weeks ago, on television, we all saw pictures of a bridge under construction, but as the spans were added to the bridge, it could not take the stress, and down it came, and 13 men lost their lives as a result. So tests for stress are important. If a structure cannot take the stress that will be put on it, it becomes dangerous. It fails. For example, as all of you know, we are right now in the midst of a major capital funds campaign to raise funds to build a new structure across the street. And the main structure that we plan to build is an educational facility above the upper level of our parking garage. And the engineers who've been studying this proposed building project, have been concerned about stress. Will the foundations hold the load we propose to put on them? So the problem of stress is very important to us. But there is another sort of stress test we need to be concerned about. The real question that faces us as families and faces us as a congregation is this. Will the children coming out of our homes and will the children educated in our Christian education program be able to stand the stress of the world when the pressure is applied to them and when the load is put on their shoulders? Will they stand the stress? In our scripture this morning, our opening verse reads, "But understand this, in the last days, there will come times of stress." And certainly that has been true, that since Jesus, when we are living in the last days now, the times of stress have persisted. And then the Bible goes on to say why there will be stress. Now, there are some people today who take a very optimistic viewpoint of man's nature. And they say that man is basically good, that he has an inherent innate drive towards wholeness and health. And that if man is given the proper environment, he will move towards wholeness and health. Well, St. Paul has no such optimistic view of human nature. And in the Bible, he tells us what the world apart from Jesus is like. It says that men become lovers of self or of money. It says they will be proud and arrogant. It says they will be disobedient to parents, abusive, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderous, profligate, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and on and on. Well, that's a pretty terrible description of what people are like apart from Jesus Christ. Now, today is Mother's Day. Let me ask you mothers this question. Would you want your children to be like the people St. Paul just described for us? How about you fathers? Would you like for that to be a description of what your children are going to be like? Now, there's some of you here who don't have children, or your children are already grown, and maybe you have grandchildren. But let me ask you, would you like the description I just read to characterize your grandchildren, or would you like for it to characterize what the little children in the nursery are going to grow up and be like? You wouldn't like that, would you? Let's talk about the children in the nursery for a moment. Where will this church be 50 years from now? Now, project your mind into the future 50 years. Many of us will be dead. Even the senior high young people will have retired. Who will be worshiping here in this sanctuary on a Sunday morning 50 years from now. Do you realize the little children down in the nursery this morning will be the mothers and daddies up here worshiping and working to put the kids through college? Do you realize that those children in the nursery will be the leaders of this church? The elders, the deacons, the trustees, the Sunday school teachers, and even our senior high young people will mostly be retired. That's sort of shocking, don't you think? Just imagine, some little toddler down in our nursery this morning is staggering around down there having just learned to walk, probably with his diapers wet, playing with some toy, sucking on a pacifier and drool going down his chin, and he's going to be your elder. Well, what kind of elder will he be? Remember, there's going to be a lot of stress then, as there is now. Will that little fellow pass the stress test when he becomes a pillar of the church? When the weight of responsibility is put on his shoulders, can he carry the load? Approximately 52 years ago, the members of Central worshiped in this sanctuary for the first time. It wasn't a very large congregation by today's standards. On top of that, while they were building this building, the Depression had hit, and paying for this new building was almost more than they could handle. Some of them took out personal loans. Others cashed in their insurance policies. Some took their life savings out of the bank in order to keep this congregation from defaulting on its mortgage. Now, this sanctuary didn't come cheaply. There were people who sacrificed and paid the price. And the spiritual forefathers of this congregation certainly paid the price. But the building was not the important thing for them. What was really important was to provide a place where the little children down in the nursery could get a Christian education, could get Christian training. And those little children then could become the godly men and women their parents wanted them to be. And today, some of those little children are serving as officers of this congregation. They're pillars of the church who've been stress-tested, and they can carry the load. And others of them are serving churches in other cities all across this country. Young men and women who came out of this congregation and who now are godly leaders, pillars of the churches in which they're a part, bearing the load. Today, Central is one of the truly great churches of St. Louis. I assume you know that. Let me give you some information about Central that you may not know. Central is the strongest Presbyterian congregation in the state of Missouri. Central belongs to a denomination that has almost 5,000 churches. And we are in the top 15 in terms of size, numerically. We're in the top 10 in terms of our stewardship and our financial giving. We're in the top 5 in our per capita giving. This morning, we have more young men in the seminary right now than probably any other church in the denomination. We could quote more, but you get the picture. Now, let me ask you this question. How did that happen? Was it a fluke? Was it some sort of spiritual good luck accident? No, let me tell you how it happened. It happened because two things have been going on in this congregation for years, as a spiritual foundation has been laid on which God can build. The first thing that happened was the men and women of this congregation set a spiritual example for the children. The men and women of this congregation have been trying across the years to be the kind of people that God called them to be. When I walked in at the service just before this one, There were two families sitting together. There were brothers and their families sitting there. And as I went by, I reached out and touched each one of them. And it dawned on me that these men were officers in the church. And their father before them had been an officer in the church. And they had roots going back in this church for 4 and 5 generations. The men and women of this congregation laid spiritual foundations. In the scripture we read this morning, you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience. And that's what the people of this congregation have been doing, living godly examples. Timothy lived in a time of great stress. Paul warned him, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And it was true. Timothy was to know persecution. Just as Paul said, there would be stress. But Timothy was a pillar of the church who could stand the stress because he had a godly example to emulate. And not only Paul, but his mother and his grandmother Lois, all were Christians, godly people who had set before him a godly example. Now today we're honoring mothers, but let me tell you this. It takes no great character to become a mother. Or a father either, for that matter. I saw some statistics the other day that were just absolutely appalling, at least to me. For example, in Washington, D.C., the capital of our country, the number of illegitimate births in that city outnumber the births of children whose parents are married. So becoming a mother is no great feat. However, being a mother is a different ballgame. Being a mother takes character and energy and commitment. It means being a godly example so that from both mother and father, children have something worthwhile to emulate. Now let me ask us parents this question. Would we like for our children to be as we are? Would we like our children to do the things we do? Will we set the example that we want them to follow? Will they see in us parents who are willing to sacrifice for godly things? Parents whose faith and love and steadfastness are something they want to emulate. So the first thing that helped Timothy stand the stress as a pillar of the church was the fact he had a great example to follow. And I pray that you and I will give our children an example to follow. The second thing that our scripture tells us that about Timothy is this. He knew the Word of God. Do you remember what we read in the Bible this morning? Paul reminded Timothy in these words, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And that's the other reason this church has been great and is growing and is having a greater ministry is because our spiritual forefathers taught us the Word of God. It's the foundation from which we operate. And St. Paul adds how important knowing God's Word is. He says to Timothy, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Do your children know the Word of God? Will the children of this congregation be exposed to the Word of God so that they'll be trained for righteousness, equipped for every good work? In the next 2 Sundays, you and I are going to give our answer to that question. God has blessed the ministry of Central, and we're growing. We have one of the top 5 Sunday schools in terms of enrollment of any church in our denomination. But to teach those little children in the nursery, to teach the boys and girls in Sunday school, to have the proper facilities for our youth, and to provide for the continuing education of our adults, we've got to have more space. Will we provide it? Will you and I make room so that we'll have the facilities and the equipment to teach a growing Sunday school filled with young people who need to know the Word of God so they can stand the stress as pillars of the church? Now, to provide that space is going to take sacrifice on the part of all of us. Our problem is not, do we have the resources? That is not the problem. You and I have enough resources. If we wanted to, we could build this project in 6 months and pay for it. Because we have the resources. The real question for us is, do we have the will to do it? Do we have the commitment to provide for the pillars of tomorrow's church so that they can pass the stress test? Now, next Sunday and the Sunday following, all of us are going to have an opportunity to give our answer to that question. Your officers have already been meeting and praying about this. They're already making their commitments. They're taking the lead, as they should, in making their sacrificial commitments first. Sydney and I have been praying for weeks about our commitment, and as we've prayed about, God, what do you want us to do? God has given us an agreement, a unity in spirit as to how much we are to give. And this morning in the chapel, for the officers, there's a collection plate on the altar in there for the officers and the leaders to go and make their commitments. And this morning at a little before 8, when my wife and I got here, we went in and we knelt down and we prayed and we placed our commitment in the offering plate. And we prayed for God to bless us and to help us to fulfill that commitment, because for us, we felt it was a very large commitment. I'll tell you the truth. In terms of my base salary, we're giving about a fourth of it to this church and to other charitable causes. But you see, the question for us is not, can we do it? We can. The question for us is, will we do it? And that's your question, isn't it? Not can I, but will I? Today we honor our mothers. Now let me ask you this. Will today's children, who will be the pillars of the church tomorrow, have reason to honor you and me in years to come? Will they pass tomorrow's stress test because we do our job today? People before us did a great job. You know, we have a lot of people who worship in this sanctuary every Sunday. I don't know if you know this or not. You may not be aware of it. But we average over 200 visitors every Sunday. Now, they're not all first-time visitors, but every Sunday we have over 200 visitors. And people come here for weddings and funerals and other special events. And they say to me, oh, what a beautiful sanctuary. What a gorgeous church. And I'm told, I don't know if it's true or not because I haven't seen the others, but I'm told this is one of the most beautiful sanctuaries in the city. But I'm going to tell you something. This cost. There were people who sacrificed and paid the price to make this available for you and me. During those depression years, they laid their commitment on the altar for you, for all of us. Now, 50 years from now, will visitors look at our facilities and say, somebody must have cared very much? Well, I care, and I know you do too. Let us pray. God, we do care. We care about those children and generations yet to come who will worship here, who will be pillars of the church, who will do the things they need to do. And God, I pray that as we have the opportunity now to do our part, that we'll be found faithful. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody here who wants to be a part of the fellowship of this church, Bill and I are going to be standing down here, and you get up.